Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk about the Detroit Lions' first playoff victory since the 1991 season. We're going to discuss the 24-23 Lions win over the LA Rams at Ford Field. As usual, we'll discuss what went well, any pivotal moments in the game, any concerns as well as takeaways, and major storylines coming out of this contest. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey everyone, this is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, as usual, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast that drops on Mondays. James, it feels good to be here. Good to have you here.
Even more good to be here today, even though it's early.
That it is. I agree. Very early. We could not have done this last night, though. There would not have been any voice in me. You can see some of it has come back, and I'm grateful for that. Let's hear from Coach Campbell. This is what he said right after the game.
Phases got our special teams involved in the second half. I thought Jack Fox was unbelievable. Defensively, we kept them out of the red zone, which was huge. It's an explosive offense. We knew Stafford was going to be hard to contain. Thought Puka, he's a heck of a receiver. And that defense, man, they were flying around. Aaron Donald, he's an issue no matter how many resources that you try to put his way. So, but ultimately, man, we did what we had to do to win that game and played it the right way. And in the critical moment, seal the game. We put it in Goff's hands. He gets it to Saint, and we're able to kneel on it. So, it's an outstanding job.
So, James, Campbell, I think, hit the nail on the head. All three phases of the Lions team played a role and contributed in key parts to this victory. What did you see out of that?
Yeah, I did. The Rams special teams has not been great this year. They didn't particularly play bad, but Michael Badgley's 54-yard kick or a field goal was a huge component. I think people are kind of overlooking that a little bit. But, I mean, those 3 points are the difference in the game. I think special teams played a pretty darn big role in that win. Obviously, the offense and defense did as well. But man, that kick was huge.
It was. And, the kick was huge and the punting was huge by Jack Fox, because there were some times the Lions could not move the ball on offense. And he had a long of 61, an average of over 49 yards, and he kept the Rams from getting a short field against the Lions. And then, as you said it, the offense and defense had different parts of success as well, and we're going to get into those. So, James, let's turn to the atmosphere. Everyone was talking about how it was going to be, what it would be like. Here's Coach Campbell talking about the atmosphere right after the game.
That is arguably the best environment I've ever been in. That was absolutely electric. And I think what's crazy is I was coming down for pregame warmup, and you could just feel it. It was humming. The building was humming. And I swear you could feel the electricity down the tunnel from where I was coming down, and it only just grew from there. So, man, our fans showed up in a big way. That was clearly, and I thought, man, for 2 years now, it's been, that building's been rocking. That, it was different today. That was a whole nother level, which is what the playoffs are all about. So our fans showed up in a big way. They helped us win this game.
I mean, James, Coach Campbell is not mincing words here. Before the game was even near being started, there were chants of Jared Goff, Jared Goff, throughout the stadium. It was so loud. It was electric.
Yeah, and especially on TV. You know, I was watching TV back here in Traverse City, and man, there was a lot of fans with tears in their eyes showing on TV. They were kind of concentrating on this one guy in a gray shirt right after the, you know, his time was running off the clock, and man, he was showing some emotion. He was leaking a little bit. And you know, I was just in a state of shock, man. I just didn't quite know what to do.
I understand that. That's cool for hearing what that broadcast was showing as well. I obviously have not seen any of that, but I think a lot of people were like, did this really just happen? And trying to comprehend that it did happen, because the game, for a long period of time, the Lions, it came out on fire. They came out great on offense. And then, you know, the game kind of went in a linear type way where both sides stepped up for both teams. And it wasn't like one team started dominating over another in a different way. And so the big thing for me with this atmosphere, though, was how it made Jared Goff feel before the game and after the game. Here's what Jared had to say.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. The people here are special, man. I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for their support. And today, with the circumstances that were there, it meant a lot. It made me feel pretty good. It was exciting. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. But this place is special to me. And like I just said, these people are special. That's the best home atmosphere I've ever played in front of. And I expect next week to be, you know, on top of that or second, you know. And it's a special place to play. And I've only been here for 3 years, but to see us come from where we were to where we are now, and the fans endure some of that, it's special to be able to get this W for them and for this group in our locker room.
James, I love that Jared Goff got that reception, got that uplift before the game and during the game, and that he felt at home in this one. I think that was important.
Yeah, and after the game too. One of the videos online going around is the, you know, Jared Goff walking into the locker room, and the people in the locker room are chanting Jared Goff, Jared Goff, just like the fans were before the game. I mean, so that's just huge. You know, Matthew Stafford after the game was, you know, obviously asked about his connections with the Lions and Goff being traded for each other and everything. And one of the answers he kind of didn't give the greatest answer in the world, but the rest of them, he was pretty good about, you know, saying, you know, he felt good for, you know, Goff and, you know, and the players and everything like that. He didn't seem to really like the fact that he got booed.
You know, though, he already admitted he knew it was going to happen, and he shouldn't have expected anything different. He shouldn't even be bummed out about it. We can celebrate his time in Detroit at a later date. This game was about the Detroit Lions playing their first home playoff game in 30 years and winning it and moving to the second round. And it was about so many other things. And so, you know what? He'll have his time when his time comes. So I'm not concerned about that at all. I loved the atmosphere the crowd created. And, you know, I was at the week 2 game, and I got to say, this was right there with it. I have no idea what the highest peak decibel was at this game, but I would say throughout the game, it maintained a higher level than that week 2 game.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it seemed to be pretty crazy. And the Lions social media team was on point all day. You know, the Rams tweeted out a video of Stafford running onto the field in Detroit, you know, and I think their caption just said, "Whose house?" And after the game, the Lions retweeted that and said, "Jared's house."
Oh, I love that. I did not see that online. That is so cool. Well, James, let's get into starting about what we liked in this game. And I'm going to say the thing I liked first was the Lions offense to start the game. I mean, three touchdown drives. We scored 21 points. You had Montgomery, Gibbs, and Laporta all find in the end zone. Josh Reynolds contributing big right out of the gate. I just thought our offense was like on fire to start this thing.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, it was awesome to see the offense just come out clicking, the running game, establishing the running game and telling the Rams that we're going to try to push you around on offense and run the ball. And I don't think in those three drives, I don't think they had a play that didn't go for positive yardage. I don't know that they had an incompletion in those first three drives, maybe like one or something. I don't know. But it just seemed like every play the Lions were gaining chunks. You know, they didn't have the big 50-60 yard touchdowns that the Rams did. But if the Rams didn't have those huge chunk plays, they were dead in the water.
The Rams needed those big plays because they were behind the sticks a couple of times. And if they hadn't gotten those big plays, they would have been punting the ball.
Yeah. And those big plays have been kind of what the Lions have given up a bit here and there, you know, a lot of the season. We've seen that, you know, giving up third and 20s and that kind of thing. But I think that's the Lions defense seems to be, you know, we're going to try to make you go down the yard in chunks. And if you get in a shot like that, fine, but we're going to try to put you in a position where you're going for those shots when we want you to go for those shots and our DBs can maybe make you pay for it. They didn't in this game. But we've seen in previous games how they have, and that's kind of changed some games around.
I think another thing I want to talk about liking is the way the defense played in the second half, especially to end the game, but also they held the Rams to a field goal on that first drive, which was huge because that gave the Lions a 7-3 lead and the ball back. And the defense, there were those two big plays, but other than those two big plays, we did not let the Rams in the end zone.
Yeah, the defense played pretty well. I mean, you know, some people will point to Puka Nacua's stats and say that they didn't, you know, because he had a huge day. But we've seen that in the previous few weeks where, you know, Justin Jefferson had a huge day, CeeDee Lamb had a huge day. So those number one wide receivers against this defense kind of seem to get theirs, but seem to not get enough to change the outcome of the game.
What I noticed was every time the field shrunk, the Rams had a harder time against the Lions defense. I noticed, you know, the one, it was like a third and short or whatever, and that's when they threw the deep pass for the first touchdown. And the other touchdown was a long pass, and we just missed an interception. But every time that field shrunk and things got compressed and there wasn't as much space to space out, that's when the Lions defense stepped up. It was more of a bend, don't break type thing. And we gave them, you know, other than those two big plays, they gave up 9 points in this game. And that's got to really be commended.
Yeah, their goal line defense has been really good. I think they made a point during the broadcast to mention, you know, that the Lions had upgraded their defense at the linebacker position this year. And when you compress the field into that shorter field in the goal line situation, that really brings the linebackers more into play and the corners don't have to cover for as long. So it really plays to the strengths of that Lions defense.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I liked the fact that, yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown had 7 catches, 110 yards, and he had a 30-yarder as well, and he had the final one, and we're going to get to that as well. But Josh Reynolds, they came out getting him involved early. Jameson Williams only had 2 catches, but he only had 2 targets, and so he made the most of those opportunities. Sam Laporta did as well. I mean, Jared Goff was 22 of 27 for 277, a touchdown. I want to point out, he did finish the game as well as Matthew Stafford played. Jared Goff had a higher passer rating than Matthew Stafford. So I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
It was by like less than a point or 1 point.
By one, and the Lions won by one.
We will take that. Another thing I liked, the third quarter, it was essentially a draw. It was a 3-3 draw. And that was big coming out because the third quarter has not always been the best thing to the Lions. So we will take a draw with that. I thought that was important to not lose the momentum in the starting the second half.
Yeah, the one thing that kind of jumped out to me in this time in the third quarter, and I think it might be linked to the Lions' third quarter struggles, is that Ben Johnson is getting a little more predictable in how he calls the game in the third quarter. The third quarter is when he stops running the ball, even if they've been running the ball effectively. And he did that again. And the Rams took advantage of that a little bit. So I think he's got to kind of change things up there with his habits of what he does in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's a great observation. So we're going to talk about that slight concern, I guess, is because it will be that running game. The way it changed the focus anyway. We already mentioned Jack Fox, but I really liked his punting. We talked about it helped with field position. It made it harder, made the Rams have to go that much further. And then the Michael Badgley 54-yard field goal, I have to tell you about this. There's a guy behind me as we're getting ready to line up for the field goal. There's a guy behind me, and I hear him talking to somebody, and he's like, oh, that guy can't even hit from 45 or something. And I was like, you got to believe. And I'm like, he can make it. He can make it. He can make it. Like, just willing that thing in. And then after it went in, I turned up and turned to the guy, and I'm like, dude, you got to believe in moments like this. And we did. And James, this is the reason they have Michael Badgley on their roster.
Yeah, he came through when they believed in him. Even the Lions called him the Money Badger when they tweeted out the highlight of the video of the kick during the game.
I don't think another kicker that was on our roster this season or in preseason could have made that kick.
Yeah, 54 yards. I mean, that's, you know, not an easy kick in a playoff environment.
All right, James, let's turn over to anything we didn't like, any concerns. Now, first off, I just want to say to any of the listeners out there, we won a playoff game and at Ford Field. So we might throw some things out there we didn't love, but please know James and I absolutely loved this game. And so everything right here we say is very, very minor. So, James, I'm going to go with a theme we've just seen throughout the season, which is third and long, fourth and five, we didn't get off the field. And so that did allow the Rams to get some long drives, especially in the second half. And that kept our defense on the field longer. The time of possession was just about equal, but earlier in the game, the Lions did have, they had the advantage.
Yeah. And I kind of touched on that a little bit with the play calling being different in the third quarter. So I think that kind of is part of that, you know. That is a concern with the third quarter lull and the defense not being able to get those big stops, but they got enough. And got a victory, so I can't complain too much about it.
No, I'm not going to either. Again, I saw what you saw, which is we got a little bit away from the running game, which made it quieter than expected in the second half. I mean, for the game, I think the Lions had about 79 yards rushing, but part of that's three kneel downs at the end. But I think we were on pace to have much more than that at halftime. I do got to bring up something I really did not like, and I'm going to be, this is a strong not like, okay? This is right before halftime. It was fourth and five, and we got the Rams to jump off sides, and the officials called us for a false start. I mean, that's what it looked like in the stadium. That's what the replay looked like in the stadium. Is that what you saw at home, James?
Yeah, even the announcers were saying, I don't see a false start there. I was looking on Twitter nationally, people were like, that's not a false start. Just torching the refs over that, because obviously the defensive player entered the neutral zone and then Decker stood up to point it out. It was a pretty clear cut penalty. And I don't know how the referees missed that one and call it that way. That seemed to be huge. And that would have been a first down for the Lions, you know, in field goal range with the chance to put some more points on the board there.
Yeah. Right before halftime. I mean, that's when you felt like, oh my goodness, because of this play, it cost the Lions a chance to score, and we knew the Rams were going to get the ball to start the second half. And so that's why it was so big also in the second half that the Lions were able to hold the Rams to a field goal. That's one of my pivotal moments or turning points in the game, was coming out in the third quarter on that first drive, because both teams had been moving so well, the Lions held the Rams to a field goal.
Yeah, at a minimum, that penalty cost the Lions another long Badgley field goal chance, if not a touchdown, you know, because the offense in the first half was just humming.
It really was. And you're right, that you might have seen them get all the way down the field in that amount of time. Another big, big play was in the fourth quarter. It was 3rd and 4. The Rams had the ball, and I think they picked up about 2 or 3 yards, and it was going to be 4th and 1 or 2, but there was a holding call. It backed the Rams up. They threw an incomplete pass on like 3rd and 14 or whatever it was. And there were 4 minutes left, and the Rams punted the ball. They never got the ball back. That stop in the fourth quarter right there was huge.
Yeah, and I think that was the holding call that Hutchinson drew. He had gotten some pretty good pressure and was kind of coming. He had slid around and was kind of coming back from behind Stafford, and the tackle just kind of bear hugged him and fell on him. Kind of, and they couldn't help but call that one. So it was nice to see that. You also got in the game beforehand where Micah Parsons finally drew some holding calls, and that was a thing that Cowboys fans had been really critical of the NFL, is how can he not be held at all during the season, when and he was in very much a Hutchinson-like state all season, where linemen were just mauling him and getting their hands all over him and holding him all over the place, but it wasn't getting called, and Cowboys fans were as frustrated as Lions fans were about Hutchinson.
Yes, I'm glad that they finally observed what was going on and threw the flag for that. James, here's another really big pivotal moment, a turning point in the game. The Lions were up 14-10 in the first half, and we were trying to grind the ball. And it was 4th down and 1 from the 2-yard line. So the Lions could get a first down before getting the touchdown. And I think everybody thought they were going to Montgomery again. And the guts that it takes, the composure that it takes to call the play, to run the play, and throw a pass to Sam Laporta in the end zone for a touchdown. That was huge, because that put us up 21-10 versus being stuck 14-10 and giving the Rams the ball.
Yeah, and that was a great throw too. I mean, Goff threaded one in there in the end zone right to Laporta. If you look at the replays of it, there was a huge hole though that opened up in the middle of there. Goff almost could have just run it himself. I don't know that he would have made it, you know, because he's not the fastest guy or anything, but he's not slow, particularly slow or anything. But that was just a great throw to Laporta in the back of the end zone, and good thing that Laporta played. I mean,
you're absolutely right, James. Everybody contributed. Everybody stepped up. It wasn't one person carrying the load. Although, I mean, like Dan Campbell said, I think Jared Goff had maybe 2 or 3 bad plays at most the whole game. I think he said 2. And other than that, Jared Goff, he shouldered the pressure, and he lived up to the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I guess one other kind of concern for me would have been that the Lions did not generate a whole lot of pressure on Stafford. You know, they did, you know, he was playing kind of battered and bruised, because late in the second half, they did really get to him once, where I think it was Hutchinson got him, and then Aleem McNeil was coming in at the same time and hit him. That was the time where I'm pretty sure he was concussed. If you saw, you were at the game, so maybe you didn't see it, but the replay that they showed on network TV, when Stafford was laying on the ground, his eyes rolled back in his head.
No way. Oh my goodness. That's scary.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he was concussed. And, I think that the NFL should be looking into that. And they were supposedly looking at Nacua for a concussion on that same play. I didn't see what happened on that, but he went into the blue tent at the same time as Stafford did. I guess my other concern would be that maybe Kirby Joseph, I think there's a small percentage of chance that the NFL might, he's going to get a fine, I think, at least for that hit on the tight end.
On Tyler Higbee?
On Higbee, yeah. They're thinking that Higbee tore his ACL on that. And it was a low hit. It was a low hit, but I mean, it didn't look like it was intentional like that. Kirby was kind of coming in low, and I don't know if it looked like he kind of slipped or whatever, but he was kind of stumbling at almost as he came in on the hit. And then Kirby had that bad penalty earlier in the game too, where he got the personal foul for pulling people off of the pile.
Yeah, I saw that penalty, and you just got to be smart in that situation because you know it's an automatic penalty if you pull somebody off the pile. So you just got to not do that. Going back to the concern you said about the pass rush, you know, I don't know. The Lions may have to do something different to generate a little bit more pressure because it was obvious they were not getting enough pressure on Stafford on a regular basis. There were some moments, some things happened, but in general, there was not a lot of pressure. So I agree with that. James, let's look at some major storylines. All right. The biggest one of all, the Detroit Lions got that first playoff win since the 91 season, and they did it against their former quarterback. And James, this was big in so many ways because it checks so many boxes. Because do you remember the days when we would get rid of a guy like Joey Harrington and he'd go to Miami and then come back on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit and win the game against the Lions? He couldn't win for the Lions. And now we have Stafford returning. And you know what? We didn't let it happen because it's not the same old Lions. Taylor Decker was right, man. This game was huge. And it's a new starting point for this franchise, I believe. And it's a new chapter in this book.
Yeah, I think it is. It's interesting that you bring up Joey Harrington because that was one of the tweets that I saw after the game was a congratulations tweet from Joey Harrington posting a photo of him watching the game in his living room with a drink in his hand. And there were so many celebrities at that game, former players. The number of former Lions players who showed up at that game was pretty interesting. I mean, and guys, you wouldn't necessarily even think about.
Well, Stephen Tulloch was there. Golden Tate was there. Glover Quinn was there. Those were the ones that I saw.
Yeah, obviously Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders. Snacks Harrison was one, I guess, who showed up. Kerryon Johnson, Matt Prater. So it's just interesting, some of those people who showed up. You had a lot of the celebrities, you know, like the normal Eminem, Tim Allen, Big Sean, Jeff Daniels, that kind of stuff. But it was just kind of cool to see that. There was even Bryan Cranston was there because apparently he's a Rams super fan. But it was the Lions who broke bad in this game.
Nice. Well, I am thrilled with the atmosphere that was created with all the Lions alum coming back in droves the way they did. Like you said, obviously we knew Barry and Calvin would be there. I'm sure Herman Moore was there. But obviously Lomas working the game, but so many other guys coming back. Another big storyline, this is like Green Bay last year in a way, but it was second down and 9 in the final 2 minutes. And instead of just running the ball to Montgomery up the middle, Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown for a first down. That ended the game right there. That was the play that ended the game. Goff admitted he didn't realize by picking up that first down that was the end. And we knew they needed another first down, but I hadn't done the math to know if we'd gotten it too quickly, if we needed one more play. But they put the ball in the hands of Jared Goff, and they got it to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Those two guys have been incredible, and it shows you the confidence the coaching staff has in both of them. And that just was a great way, a very fitting way to see the end of this game.
Yeah, it was. And part of that reason that comes around, I mean, that was another thing going away from the run. I don't have a problem with it in that situation. I mean, it was a great call because the Rams are not expecting that at all. They're expecting you to just give the ball to Montgomery again, run it, and then maybe have to punt. But what kind of led to that whole scenario is the crowd noise forcing the Rams to burn two timeouts. One in the early third quarter, and one, I think, like right away in the fourth quarter. So they only had one timeout, and then McVay mismanaged that one timeout and didn't call it before the 2 minute warning. If he had called that timeout before the 2 minute warning and made the Lions run one more play before the 2 minute warning, they would have had to get one more first down. inside the 2 minutes to end the game, but he didn't. He held it, kept holding it on, and that was kind of some bad game management on his part, I think.
Well, I will take that. And you know, it's really fitting that the Lions defense made the stop and forced a punt to end this for the Rams offense. That was just amazing because the defense is decent. They're top half, right? They're middle of the pack to the top half there, but they're not dominant. They're not the offense. The defense came through, got the stop, forced the punt. Then the offense took over and never gave the ball back. And special teams played its role. This was as complete of a win as you could have. And you know what? We won by 1 point, and it doesn't matter because it didn't have to win by 20 or 30. We won the game. We're moving on to round two. So, James, there's another major storyline, and this one came out of Dallas. And, you know, some would say the football bounced in a way to make sure that justice was served. The Cowboys lost that game just before kickoff of the Lions game. And, you know, that was one that we were hoping for, but I don't think we were expecting. And now this means the Lions get another home game next weekend. And it feels so good because it feels like the universe aligned and made up for what happened a couple weeks ago against the Cowboys for the Lions.
Yeah, that was a little bit of, you know, like as Rasheed Wallace would put it, ball don't lie, I think, karma. For the Lions, giving them that second home game back.
I agree.
So yeah, that was huge. I thought that was great watching that game. My wife is from Wisconsin, so she's also roots for the Packers and everything like that. So she had a good time with that one. But man, the social media on that one was crazy because it was just such a blowout. One website, tweeted out a thing saying that the Cowboys had been eliminated from the playoffs in the second quarter.
Oh, wow. Wow. That hurts. So, James, the Cowboys lost, which means the Packers go to San Francisco. The Lions will be hosting the winner of Philadelphia, Tampa. They're playing later today. We obviously are recording before that. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I think the crowd made a difference in that game. Like I said, the crowd noise made the Rams burn those two timeouts because they were both when they were on offense and they were having trouble getting the play in and getting the playoff in time. And both times they were going to get a 5-yard penalty in kind of a crucial situations. So the crowd noise really made a difference there. And the Lions fans all talked about that after the game, just how great the crowd was. And urge them to be even louder next week. So hopefully that can be the thing. I mean, it was interesting that there was four first round quarterbacks dressed in this game. And Teddy Bridgewater actually had a catch, I think, on one of Matthew Stafford's throws that went into the sidelines.
Nice. Yeah. The crowd was amazing. You know, Matthew Stafford came in to Ford Field and he played a good game. And so, you know what? Even with his good game, Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions came out victorious. I like that the Lions defense did not allow the Rams to dominate a running game. They kept that running game in check. You know, if I'm not mistaken, Williams had about he had 61 yards. The team as a whole had 68 yards. Those are some great numbers. I love the fact that the Detroit Lions crowd embraced Jared Goff and the entire team at this moment. And the crowd was smart. I will tell you that as well. Because when the offense got on the field, got to work, we got quiet. And then everything turned. And even when things didn't go perfect, when a big play was given up or a penalty was called that was either wrong or highly debatable, things didn't fold. And we knew that because that's the type of team we have. James?
Yeah, I have a question for you. Yeah, I have a question for you about the crowd. You know, they have that decibel meter that they show on the scoreboard. What did it hit?
My wife Autumn swears she saw it got to 120. Now, I don't know what it hit exactly, but I don't know if we broke the week two thing, but I can tell you there was a higher level throughout the stadium throughout the game. So it may have not have hit the overall peak. I'm not sure, but I definitely know there was a constant higher noise than I've ever heard at Ford Field before.
Yeah. NBC Sports says 118 which is the equivalent of standing on an airport runway as a 737 goes by.
Nice. Yeah, that's a long ways from the Kansas City thing, but we'll still take it. All right, James, thanks for being here. Thanks for talking Lions, and I hope we get to do this again next week.
We'll get to do it next week for sure, because there's going to be another game, but hopefully I'm hoping there's as much energy as this time.
You're exactly right, James. We have another game next week, so there's no hope about it. So awesome. Folks, we will have a preview for that game coming up here in just a day or two. So keep a lookout for that. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit the like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.